Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I remember it as a kid growing up in high school. I remember the date, August 5th, 1981. Reagan fires the Patco workers. And what I've said is the shot heard across the boardroom, and what I liken to the beginning of open season on organized labor. Now understand, you know, for years before that, the attacks on organized labor had been raging. You go back, you know, to the passage of Taft-Hartley over Harry Truman's veto and all of the attacks that came from that point forward. But that moment, firing the Patco workers was the official moment where corporate America said, now's time, it's open season. And I'm glad to see that there's a new documentary out about this. It's called The Last Strike. And I've got the director here on the line. Ray Novoselsky is one of the two directors of this film. Ray, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
So, you know, I'm thrilled to see that, you know, someone has taken a look at this moment in our history and in the history of labor in this country, because I think this is such an important time and an important thing to remember and really to go back and somehow figure out how to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of what we were looking at, we came up with this idea in 2017 and couldn't believe that nobody had ever told this story. And, part of this was this idea of like what had happened to working people, but also what had happened to the labor movement. And I grew up with a couple of really tough as nails union uncles who also happened to be Democrats. And I had this sort of idea of what a liberal was and what a pro-union person was that's very different than this concept of the snowflake. You know, these are very tough people who fought for what they wanted. And that was something where we saw this story about these 11,000 people who went up against, you know, the federal government trying to get better wages, trying to get shorter work hours, trying to get retirement before they burnt out and accidentally caused the plane to crash. You know, all these very reasonable things, found themselves going up against the newly rising conservative movement under the face of it, Ronald Reagan, and found themselves quickly crushed in really a very unfair and just kind of mean-spirited way that started this era of strike breaking, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and in a very public way. And you know, one of the things that, you know, to go back to your point, you know, the strikes are basically always about wages, hours, conditions. And you know,
right.
you hear some of the stories, and I've talked to a number of those workers who got fired. And not only were they fired, they were banned from federal employment for life. So it wasn't just bad enough that they fired them. They took their ability to make a living completely away from them to work for the federal government, which again was another step of nastiness or meanness, if you want to put it that way.
Well, and at the time, a lot of them were the sole breadwinners for their middle class families, right. and so to take away, I mean, you know, air traffic control is not exactly something you just come in off the street and start doing, you know. So there was a lot of training, there was years of experience. And these people considered themselves professionals, professional air traffic controllers. And so to have one's profession taken away or the ability to get any other government job when you've been maybe a government worker your entire career is, it's a major blow for someone at 35, 40 years old, which was the average age of the person who got, you know, the 11,000 that got fired.
Right. But more importantly, what it was that message for anyone else that dare step forward and speak out. And this is the kind of spitefulness and retribution you see, not just from the Reagan era, but from corporate America here, this point forward. Warfare.
The thing that I found so amazing in looking at this was it was definitely a controversial move, and there was certainly a sector of Americans that were against this, but all told, polls showed this to be one of the most popular moves that Ronald Reagan made during his 8 years in office. And so there was this mystery as to why the American people had come to see their fellow workers, these air traffic controllers, as forsakable, and not just forsakable, but to actually cheer when they were crushed. Like, what had happened to us that made us so willing to go for Ronald Reagan over our own interests, over our fellow workers? And that's kind of what we explore in this film.
And what did you come out with? I mean, because, you know, I've said for years, it's my belief that the labor movement dropped the ball. I believe Lane Kirkland was more interested in supporting the solidarity movement in Poland than he was the Patco workers in Washington. So I'm curious where you guys come down on.
Well, you know, I grew up with my father always telling me, sometimes apropos of nothing, he would bring up this strike, you know, because I was born a week into the Ronald Reagan's presidency. Now, my other director, Danny Alpert, is a little more of the era. Danny out of the Kindling Group, which has really backed and fostered this. But my dad always talked about it in this kind of legendary way, where he said, you know, every union, every working person in the country should have come out in solidarity for a general strike with these, you know, workers, and they could have brought Reagan to his knees, brought him back to the negotiating table, forced them. You know, and maybe we would have seen a very different outcome for the labor movement over the last 40 years, and maybe income inequality wouldn't be what it is. Maybe corporate power and lobbying and their hold over our government wouldn't be, you know, as strong. What did we come to? Honestly, it's still in progress, and I don't like putting the cart before the horse. You got to go down the journey and find the answers.
And I can't wait to see the film, to be honest with you. I can't wait to see it. How do we get to see it?
Yeah, well, we're going to have it done in time for the 40th anniversary, which is August of 2021, so next year. So we've launched a Kickstarter, and I couldn't be more bowled over by the enthusiasm that it's gotten. We reached half our goal within the first 3 days. We now have 21 days left, and I hope your listeners will go give it a watch our video. Come meet Danny and I, and come find, you know, watch some clips and see what we're up to. If they look up The Last Strike on Kickstarter, they'll find it. And we're about 9,000 from our goal with 21 days left. So we'll be dropping some clips so people can at least follow clips by following our Facebook page or continue to tune into the Kickstarter. And within a year, with everyone's support, we'll have this out and ready to view.
I'm looking forward to it, and we'll make sure that we get links out on social media and how folks can take a look at that and hopefully donate to it, because I think it's an incredible project. Have you guys looked into, or are you going to look into, the fact that maybe part of the division was that the Patco Union actually supported Reagan in the election in 1980? Because there was a massive division of labor in that election. Obviously, the Teamsters supported Reagan as well. Obviously, the airlines and the trucking industry very angry over deregulation. Any thought into that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that was a very interesting thing to discover. In fact, what had happened was, when there was a pre-version of the air traffic control strike, it was a massive sick out that happened in 1970 under Nixon. And while 70 of the strikers were fired at the time, they were able to, Nixon eventually welcomed them into a negotiation in which he finally agreed to bring all of those sort of pre-strikers back and also give them some of the things they've been fighting for. And so I think they had and they ended up endorsing Nixon in 72. So there'd been a precedent where they, you know, had backed a conservative, and it had actually paid off for them. So they'd been having trouble with the FAA under, you know, Jimmy Carter. And so they thought, well, you know, maybe this guy being the only presidential candidate to ever be the head of a union, the Screen Actors Guild, promising he's going to shoot fair with the working man with unions. And he, you know, maybe this guy would give us a shot. And we actually found a rare clip of Bob Poli, the head of the Air Traffic Controllers Union, meeting with Reagan in 1980, and the two of them announcing that Patco was going to endorse. We've interviewed a number of people on the inside, including one of the board members who was the only holdout, who said he would not endorse Reagan no matter what, but he wasn't going to stand against them, but he was fairly certain that Reagan was going to sell him down, you know, the river. And Reagan gave them this letter that they famously all like to point to and hold up, in which he states that he's going to fix some of these, work with them to fix some of the issues around, air travel safety that they were so concerned about under Carter, and, you know, that he was going to shoot straight with them, that they were going to be partners in the process. And then promptly after being elected, sort of appears to have shut them out. They were never able to get really another personal meeting with Reagan after he got into office. And so there's a theory actually that part of the reason they went on strike was because Bob Poli, the president of the union, said he had to throw a brick through the White House window to get Reagan's attention, but they felt then they would end up in a real negotiation. And of course it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way. And yeah. You know, there had been the comments that I've had people tell me, because I've read the letter, and you're right, you know, they all point to it as this is what the hope was. And there were also some supposedly assurances given that they would be working together, and that when they went on strike, they wouldn't fire them. And it became one of these moments where it was, well, you know, now that they're out in the streets, now they can't go back. Again, it was one of these interesting moments.
It might have ended up in that's one of the more interesting things, is it could have ended up all kinds of different ways. But once Reagan, and we're still trying to get to the bottom of this, and we're talking with a lot of Reagan insiders, but once Reagan decides to go out into the Rose Garden and give that come back within 48 hours or you're all fired thing, you know, presidential precedent said that there was no way he could back down. He couldn't just turn after that. And so it painted everyone into a corner. And we really focused heavily on that 48-hour period. What's astounding is how few people went back. They all counted down to Reagan's deadline while holding hands and cheering on their various strike lines. And as was told to us by the head of the reformed PATCO union, Ron Taylor, I mean, this is really the only strike that you can point to that's coast to coast, that's from Puerto Rico to Hawaii, from the rural areas of America to the cities. This affected, you know, the entire country, and for 11,000 people to stand in solidarity as they got fired forever from their careers. It's an amazing story. It's very inspiring in some way.
And I think one that's important in this moment where we're such a divided country, to have that kind of solidarity and that kind of you know, stick-to-itiveness. I think it's a good story.
Well, that word solidarity has gone out of vogue too. You don't really hear that being, I mean, it's coming back a little, but it's not a buzz term among the young progressive left anymore. And that was something we wanted to change with this film, is to restart the conversation, put unionism and solidarity right up there with other perfectly great causes like Black Lives Matter, like Time's Up, you know, like climate change, you know, and have it be part of the progressive conversation, you know, unionism.
Well,
labor.
For me, as someone who, you know, I'm a working class liberal, for me, you know, the union movement is at any given time the most important movement, because if you can't afford to participate, if you don't have the economics to play in the game, you don't get to play.
Yeah. Well, the other people we wanted to reach with this film were, frankly, Trumpers. You know, we wondered. You look at the demographic of the people who went on strike, and it is predominantly middle-aged white men from 1981, and they are former Vietnam vets, many of them. Most of them served in the military. They had a crazy sense of humor. They were un-PC. They fit the description of what you would assume would be Trump's base now, and there's this sort of like, I don't know, they're there as this way to see what these, you know, working people once stood for, and how far, basically, it's a fool me once, shame on me, you know, situation where, you know, they fell for Reagan, and here's what happened. And I don't know, it's a good hard look in the mirror.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to it. And I hope folks will make a donation. Go to Kickstarter, look up The Last Strike. We'll get links out on our social media. Throw a couple of bucks your way. I can't wait to see the film.
Thank you, good sir.
That's good stuff. Ray, I appreciate the time. I'd love to have you come back as you get closer to release date and let us know.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks so much. Ray Novoselsky, the director of The Last Strike. And like I said, we'll get some links out. Hopefully folks will throw him a couple of bucks and we can get this thing seen and made and seen. Good stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.